Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Okay, as we continue on, we're starting around verse 10. Okay, whereas last time we talked about, as concerning that crown of peace, okay, which God gives to us as we continue to remain steadfast, joined to Him, joined to His oath by faith. Okay, and then verse 7, we'll work up to that again, around verse 10 where we left off, as concerning, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. Okay, she'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, there's the heart and mind, is concerning the spirit and the soul. Okay, arresting the agitation because of circumstances, okay, and by our meditation upon Him with faith. Okay, and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, as concerning birthing His substance within you, okay, because God provided richly towards us these tokens, okay, which is an evident testimony of His presence, okay, seen of those of faith, okay, but not seen of those who are in darkness. That's why the sinners are continually searching for the existence of God, or trying to create a testimony of His presence, okay, in carnal things, okay, but the testimony of God is in Christ, okay, and Christ has provided us richly these tokens, which we can see Him by, okay, and we discern by these tokens. Now, going back on verse 8, we talked about the word true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report. Okay, because all the tools of the Lord follow this one design, being the oath of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ. Okay, He is the way and original pattern, so therefore things are true. Okay, all these tools which are provided for us exist because of Him, and He sanctified these things for our faith. So they're true. This follows the original pattern. Okay, all things of His grace are free us from falsehoods. Therefore, it's honest, as it circumcises our heart. All the tools of the Spirit free us from condemnation. Therefore, they are just, because the just should live by faith. Okay, all the tools of His glorious kingdom are free of deceit. So therefore, they're pure. As Jesus said, blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, those that live by the guile of their aspirations will never behold the face of the Lord. Okay, but those that walk by faith see Him daily. Okay, now all the tools which He blesses the saints which beautify us, it beautifies us with the virtues of His light, therefore they are lovely. Okay, all these things possess the equity of the Lord, okay, because He gives us the equity of His grace. We reciprocate with the equity of faith, okay, and through this form of reciprocation of faith, okay, we're expressing His charity. So charity, therefore, is with an equity. If the link between the grace and the charity is broken, okay, which is the link of faith, okay, then your faith becomes feigned and your charity becomes defiled. Okay, it becomes blemished with the aspiration. Okay. Now, if your faith is blemished, then your charity is going to be blemished. Okay, and the crown of the Lord is not there. Okay, as the crowning of the land, okay, is a land that flows with milk and honey. So milk and honey is the crown of any land. Okay, and also the grace and peace of God is the crown of the soul of the righteous. Okay, and he goes on here. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, this is under why the word think. Draw our mind from the word think. As you see there in verse 8, see the word think. Draw our mind from the word think to the word minds. Okay, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, we overcome as we continue to meditate upon these things. Okay, as we continue to meditate upon these things, we also become profitable for the Lord. That's why Paul said that we should give ourselves over to study, doctrine, and prayer, as he told Timothy, and that we continue to hold before us this knowledge of God as our light, so that we won't wander into despair or be confounded. Again, the word confounded, which has to do with split in thinking and scattered in thought. Okay? And so those which are confounded are those which are still under Satan's spell, as he and in the shadow of his kingdom. Being in the shadow of his kingdom is like trying to assemble a puzzle together in a dark room, like a 1,000-piece puzzle in a dark room. And you can't tell which piece is facing. Is it the face of the puzzle? Is it facing down or facing up? Okay, then we try to assimilate our form of truth by the oath of our own guesswork. And by doing that, we create nothing more than more confusion. Okay, that's not the virtue of God. Okay? When all these virtues are born within a soul, then you carry with you that image of Christ. Okay, and so therefore we have our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, as the gold overlays the wood. What's interesting about that analogy is that the gold which was put upon the Ark of the Covenant, okay, had to do with the gold from Egypt. That's interesting that the gold of Egypt was used for the tabernacle of God. And you would think that the gold which the Egyptians used was defiled, seeing that it was offered to idols. And it was used for unclean things. Okay, but then this gold, even though it was of the heathen, God used the gold of the heathen use it for a point of contact for his saints. Now, as we read on here, okay, in Philippians, we'll see this. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings this out. Okay, so if there be any virtue, that which is the fruit brought into perfection and the empowerment of that fruit, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Okay, giving another example of this, it has to do with the development of the fruit of the tree, okay, which begins with a flower and a bud, okay, and then the fruit appears, okay, and with that, okay, also the fruit comes to perfection, okay. Just because the berry appears in a tree doesn't mean that it's ready to be plucked. Okay, the apple isn't ready to be plucked until it manifests its fullness, okay. And the praise, okay, which he's speaking of right here is the fullness. Okay, the apple is coming full color. Okay, it goes through its seasons. Okay, from spring to fall, and in the fall, it's ready to be picked. Okay, and when you carry within your soul, okay, these virtues and these tokens, okay, then you're considered as the praise of God's glory. Okay, that means of all those things which God has assigned, even to His mighty angels and the eight great princes which are without peer. It is this praise right here that far exceeds that of their own creation. Okay, it far exceeds that of his own creation, because this is the image of God, okay, which we're bearing. Okay. So if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So underline the word think there. Okay, and right, draw a line to the word think to the word hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, as the wood, or as the gold overlays the wood, because the gold sanctifies it. Okay, and it sanctifies it because God put a value upon it. And now he didn't put the value upon the gold independently, okay, of the altar. Okay, or the Ark of the Covenant. God did not put value upon the gold nor sanctify the gold apart from its function. Okay, but when the gold is participating, or when it's, okay, joined to its function, and now it's sanctified. And it's the same thing with charity. Charity that's independent, okay, of the sanctification, okay, is nothing more than just a framework. Okay, it remains independent and unsanctified. Okay, and in verse 9, now those things which you have both learned and received, okay, so you might want to underline the word there, which you have learned and received. Now he says right here, learned and received, he wasn't speaking independently of his stewardship. Okay, it was, and I believe it still is, a popular philosophical thought, okay, that the church has embraced is concerning God's going to reveal all truth to me. Okay, they see that themselves, that I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost teach me, okay, but not realizing, okay, that the Spirit speaks through stewardship, okay, as concerning the instruction of the church. Okay, even though he does speak to everyone individually, okay, in regards to their growth, but not the doctrine. Okay, and this is confusing to the church, because they're reading in the Gospels as concerning Jesus' charge to the apostles. When Jesus made charge to the apostles, he made that reference to them only. Okay, he didn't make that reference in speaking of that in a general sense. He wasn't speaking that to the general public. Okay, he was speaking that to those which are under his stewardship. Okay, when he said, "Howbeit, when the Holy Ghost comes, okay, he shall bring you unto all truth." Okay, and he shall not speak himself. Okay, but whatever I speak, whatever he hears, he speaks or reveals. Okay, and he will show you things to come. Okay, we see that in the Gospel of John chapter 16. Okay, Jesus was speaking to his apostles. He wasn't speaking that in the sense of the common people. Okay, because the Pharisees, if he was speaking that generally, I mean in a group, in a mixed company, then the Pharisees would just point their fingers at Jesus and says, "That's right, Jesus. The Holy Ghost teaches me, and he's not teaching me what he's teaching you, so apparently you're a liar." Okay? And that's exactly the mindset of those in the church today. Okay, that any doctrine that doesn't set right with them, they think that's of the devil. Okay, because they have taken on a responsibility which God hasn't gifted them with. Okay, they were not called to that responsibility. Okay, but they have taken on to them the responsibility to try to set order in doctrine, by the precept and joining it to the moral code. Okay, when you try to join precept to moral code, all you have is just another religion. Okay, but when faith is joined to the God code, on the foundation of truth, it's just not a worldly religion. We're talking about a system. A religion is a form of a system of worship. Okay, now the world has their form and system of worship, and the church has their form and system of worship. Okay, but because the world can't distinguish between light and darkness, they feel that because there's similarities, like man came from a monkey, that there has to be some kind of relationship there. Okay, I have no relationship with a monkey, and the church has no relationship with Satan, because God, whose temple is holy, has no relationship with the temple of Baal. Okay, neither does light have any kind of communion with darkness. Okay, nor does Jesus have any communion with Satan. Okay, but because the world is in darkness, they have no perception or distinguishing factor because they're absent of light and truth. Okay, so they try to weigh everything on a scale of their moral code. So they feel that because the church, the true church, has certain forms of worship that is similar to their own, as concerning the Bible, or a pulpit or a pew, or a pastor, or music, they see similarities right there, so they feel that we're of the same offspring, but we're not. We are the offspring of God. Being born of the Spirit, we're the offspring of God, because we carry the testimony of God in our heart by these tokens. And it's these tokens that carry the testimony of God. And we see and behold the face of the Lord through these things. But they're continually looking for God. And they're trying to look for God in the tokens that are defiled. So when the gold, and if the gold is not, the gold of Egypt is not sanctified and overlays that frame which God has sanctified for it to be sanctified. Now Jesus spoke of the same thing, and I'm just building out on that, expounding on that, as concerning what sanctifies the temple or the gold of the temple. Now Jesus said the same thing, but of course it's the Spirit that sanctifies the whole activity. but if the gold is separated from the altar, the gold is therefore unsanctified. Though man may find value in it and be blessed with it, it is unsanctified. It doesn't possess the equity of God. Now, the Apostle Paul says in verse 9, those things, these tokens which you have both learned, this is why I'm bringing this to your attention, is concerning what the Lord, our Lord Jesus, spoke to his apostles before his crucifixion and ascension. Those things which you have both learned and received, even in dreams and visions, and heard and seen in me. Now, you might want to circle the word me there in verse 9, because he's talking about his stewardship. That which you've seen in my stewardship, you must keep in cadence with me, because I'm the steward of the house, and those that honor the steward of the house honor its master. If you don't honor the steward of the house, then you're despising the master who chose him. And you're challenging God as concerning his particular skills there. You're challenging him on the grounds of those skills, or assaulting him, as Korah did with Moses. His organizational skills. Korah felt that he was more qualified than Moses, because Korah was familiar with Moses and Moses' frailty. Okay, he also was beholding Moses' shortcomings. Okay, mostly in the engagement of the Ethiopian woman. Okay, that he was going to marry. Okay, so and Aaron and Miriam saw that. Okay, and that's why they thought they could take it upon themselves in order to correct the steward of the house. Okay, even though they were his relatives. Okay, that they felt that they were equally qualified, if not better qualified, and they would also use the excuse, has not God also spoken by us? Okay, but the Lord says, this is my steward. Why is it that you feel that you're qualified to affront the steward whom I'm communicating with daily? Okay, now you may not fully comprehend everything that's unfolding, whether it be in his personal life, or as in direction of the church. Okay, but even though you're his brother and Miriam, you're his sister, and being older than he is, you don't possess any qualifications to affront, that which my spirit issues. Okay, that's why the Lord took a portion of the spirit and the angel which was working with Moses and put it on 70 others. It wasn't the opposite or the reverse. Okay, it wasn't the council of the 70 elders that the Spirit was on, that they contributed to the magnification the Spirit was just upon Moses. It was the very opposite. It was because of Moses' faith, his selection, his choosing, his calling, and the angel of the Lord that worked with him, that the elders had any benefit or any functionality even in that covenant. Okay? So highlight the word or underline the word me there, and of course I'll be talking more about that as we go on here. Okay, those things which you have both learned and received. They had to be instructed. Okay, truth does not come through osmosis, spiritual osmosis. Okay, and of course, when I was a young Christian, because when I read these epistles and I read the letters of the apostles, because I didn't have any reference point, in order to understand this. Okay, it was the application of it, of course, was to my own benefit. Okay, as every Christian does, the application that they have is to their own benefit. Okay, that means that they feel that through their study they have some kind of a superiority over those who are more ignorant. And of course that's true. Okay, the more you study, the more you know, and that's good. Okay, but the calling is not in the study. The calling is in the spirit. Okay, it's not in the study, it's in the spirit. But that doesn't mean that you abandon your studies. Okay, because even Jesus, they were wondering, says, where have you learned such things? Okay, and Jesus studied the Torah. Okay, and we can see that. Okay, in other documentations is concerning the study of the Torah, even though he's God. But because he restricted himself, God restricted himself in the flesh, he also had to restrict himself to study. Okay, and not only did he restrict himself to study, he also restricted himself as concerning what would be revealed to him by the Spirit. Okay, and this is what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. Okay, Nicodemus, you are a doctor of the law. You're a very learned man. Okay, and you're highly esteemed among your peers as concerning your intellectual understanding, of the Torah. But this one thing you don't understand. Okay, and that's why, you can't understand the move of the Spirit. Okay, the direction of the Spirit is like the wind. And like the wind in the sail of a boat. Okay, when the wind direction changes, then you have to be more mobile as concerning moving the boom and the sail, in order to catch the wind, in order for the boat or the ship to go in the right direction. Okay, so Jesus was teaching this perspective to Nicodemus, because even though he had intellectual capabilities, he was far removed as concerning understanding what God was now unfolding, and that's the same thing with the church today. Okay, they have great institutions of intellectuals, and they could speak many different languages, the Hebrew, the Semitic languages, the Greek, the Latin. Okay, they can comprehend, they can throw words around in the Greek and the Hebrew, like we have with English. Yeah, we speak English with difficulty, but they can do it very skillfully. Okay, but their skills do not add to their understanding as concerning the mystery of Christ or the direction of the Spirit. Okay, so back in verse 9 right here, we can see that the word that the Lord was, that Paul speaking these things, was speaking from the perspective of God as he stewarded the house. Okay, he says, follow my example. Okay, not just in word only, but in word and deed. Okay, follow my example, particularly the example of his commitment to prayer. Okay, and his commitment to understanding the mystery of Christ. Okay, his commitment to sharing and unfolding to the saints concerning the revelations that he received. Okay, which the Apostle Peter spoke of on that first day, the birth of the church, the day of Pentecost. Okay, one of the things that he said, okay, on the day of Pentecost, okay, is a form of communication that every one of those which are in covenant would receive. Okay, and he says, as written by the prophet Joel, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Okay, just not those of high rank. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay, and of course, there's no gender involved. Okay, and upon my servants, upon my handmaidens, I pour out in the day of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay, so it's going to be on both gender, okay, and it's also going to, in regarding their growth. Okay, dreams, visions, prophecy, okay? Which we, of course, we talk about is that these are tokens which God has given to us, which identify with Jesus' resurrection. Okay, now, verse 9 again. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, this is what I want you to practice. Okay, follow my example. Okay, do. And if you do that which a steward of the house does, okay, not that which you observe somebody else doing, okay, because everybody has keen ideas of how they want to improve upon the house of God. Okay, and we see this, we have seen this unfold, okay, in the other system. In the other system, okay, everyone wants to improve upon the altar of the Lord. And we see this is what happened during the times of the kings. Okay, in the times of the kings, okay, when one of the kings of Israel returned from Damascus of having made a league with the king of Syria, okay, after having when he was there, he observed the altar, okay, which was in a temple there in Damascus, and it was so impressive to him that he sent the design of it, okay, the blueprints of that, okay, back to Israel so that they could also construct an altar, okay, that would be just as beautiful as that. Okay? Okay, just because it possesses equity of eye doesn't mean it's sanctified. Okay, just because it possesses the equity of the eye doesn't mean it's sanctified, because we see a lot of equity of the eye at a beautiful sunset, see, at the grandness of the canyon, at the vastness of the universe, okay, at the pictures of the planets that are being taken, okay, and also the understanding and the pictures of the uniqueness of all the animal kingdom, insect kingdom, okay, they're even discovering new species of animals. It seems like every year they're discovering a new species of an animal, something that they thought was extinct. Okay, according to our philosophy, 10 million years ago, they thought it was extinct, okay, is still swimming actively in the oceans. Okay, so here, just because the things of this world possess some equity to the eye, it doesn't bring equity in the soul. Okay, because only faith does that. It brings equity to the soul. Okay, and then he goes on, and the peace of God, bringing equity in the soul. Okay, now there's the peace of God and the peace of the world. Okay, now this word here, the God of peace, he's talking about is concerning arresting the emotions, because this is, he just said right here in verse 7, shall keep your hearts and minds, hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, the agitation that comes through false knowledge, okay, is arrested by the peace of God. Okay, and the peace of God, the Spirit of the Lord, okay, in a form of similarities here, is like it solidifies. So in order, when it solidifies, okay, it avoids agitation. It's like ice. Okay, ice, when it's in a state of being water, okay, is easily agitated, and is even more easily agitated when it's in the element of steam. Okay, when steam turns to water, it's more settled. When water turns to ice, then it's solidified. Okay, it comes into a form, okay, which is difficult to disturb, okay, or to mold with. Okay, now the peace of God, okay, arrests the soul. Okay, it solidifies it. Okay, it like forms a shield, okay, around a soul. Okay, whereas false knowledge, even though you're in the presence of darkness, okay, yet because of the peace of God, it's like a torch, okay, like a light in a dark place. Okay, the peace of God will rule. So the peace of God shall be with you. And he says, only if you're with me. Okay, that's what he says right here. Learn, receive, and seen in me do, and the peace of God should be with you. Okay, the angel Lord will continue to assist you through your cycles of growth and assist you in your understanding. Okay, not giving you new revelation, okay, but assisting you as concerning building upon this foundation. Okay, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul was mentioning this same thing to the Corinthians, okay, as concerning his stewardship, okay, and that one foundation. Okay, so, but every man take heed how he builds thereon. Now, I laid the foundation, he said. Okay, Paul said, I laid the foundation. As a steward of the house, he lays the foundation of truth in the heart. Okay, but then he says, take heed how you build thereon, which means as you grow in your understanding, remain on that one foundation. Okay, don't remove yourself from that foundation. Just try to receive so-called revelations, these floating revelations, to start building other foundations. Okay, and that where it appears is on these other foundations, whereas the fables exist. Okay, the fables exist and work with those things. Okay, but what I'm speaking of here is in 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Okay, according to verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me. Now, Paul was identifying himself as this. He was not speaking that, saying, according to the grace of God which God has given to you. He didn't say that. He says, to me. Okay, now he's speaking again, okay, of his stewardship. Okay, and he called himself a wise master builder. Okay, he wasn't saying, you are a wise master builder. He says, I'm a wise master builder. I have the blueprint. God has appointed me by the angel of the Lord to be the steward of the house. Okay, and those that honor the steward honor the master. Okay, those that despise the steward despise the master. And this is exactly what Jesus said to apostles. Remember the word that I sent unto you. If they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my sayings as a master of the house, then he would keep yours also as a steward. Okay, but if they despise the steward, they despise the master. All right, he that has the son has the father also, but he that has not the son has not the father. Okay, you don't have the stewardship, you don't have the master. Okay, that's what he's saying. So there is a divine connection there. Okay, which has to do with the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, all these tokens. Prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, and spirit. Now in verse 10. According to the grace of God, now I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's the foundation of truth and heart, and another builds thereon. Okay, now another builds thereon is concerning your priesthood builds upon this one foundation. Okay, and by that one foundation, there's a unity. Okay, and also by that one foundation, there's a communion. Okay, the communion of the Holy Ghost. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. That's in your priesthood and your doxology, of course, which will be manifesting here shortly. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Okay, that which already Jesus provided for us in his record. Okay, that foundation, the record of Christ, is our foundation. Okay, and it's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God that continues, sustains, and gives witness to that. He gives life to his knowledge. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, which Paul says here, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, this is the same, we're talking about tools, but we're talking about two different kinds of tools. We're talking about tools that hold value, which are sanctified, and tools which hold no value, but are consumed. Okay, they're not sanctified. Even though all of them are put in the altar. Now, even though all of them are put in the altar. Now, if you put something within the altar that's consumed, okay, that has to do with that the link of faith has been broken. Okay, but if you put on the altar that which is not consumed, that means the link of faith remains steadfast. Okay, and therefore your sacrifice is holy to the Lord. Okay, but if your sacrifice is with aspiration, then your sacrifice also possesses evil favoredness. And evil favoredness, which means it addresses addresses one's particular social status or standards, or you could say of the imagery of their moral code. Okay, that's evil favoredness. And God will not stand on the behalf of evil favoredness. Okay, because evil favoredness is a sacrifice that possesses blemish to it. And whatever possesses blemish, okay, is not acceptable to the Lord. If you want your sacrifices to be pure, okay, then it has to be the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Okay, it has to be those things which are not perishable. Okay? But again, God will give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, which Isaiah prophesied of. Okay, that God will replace the things which are corruptible with the things which are incorruptible, and we're using the incorruptible things, the knowledge of God. Okay. All right, and then in chapter 4, verse 1, he talks about his stewardship again. Let a man so count of us, apostles. A man, a saint, so count us, apostles and government, steward of the house, okay, the minister, and the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, when he says us there, okay, the apostle Paul is still making distinction, okay, as concerning his calling, okay, his calling as an apostle and functioning as a steward. All right, now let's go back to Philippians. Now we're coming up to the scripture for today, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Okay, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, as you continue to build. Okay, as you continue to build his house by the Spirit. That's what he means. I rejoice in the Lord. See, so underline the word rejoice and highlight. You could highlight that and put the word building on that. Okay, when we're rejoicing, okay, it's in a state of perpetualness. Rejoice in the Lord is in a state of perpetualness because the Spirit is eternal. Okay, and we rejoice in the Lord by using his tools, because by using his tools, you, even though our flesh is in a state of corruption and temporariness, yet our soul is in a state of eternity and perpetualness. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. So underline the word rejoice and underline the word Lord. Nay, and underline the word Lord, put the word Spirit over that. Okay? So write the word Spirit over the word Lord. I rejoice, Lord, greatly, as concerning I'm continuing to build the house of God by the Spirit, okay, every day. And you do this every day. Your prayers, okay, are essential in building the house of God by the Spirit. Your prayers are essential, because it's through prayer and through the engaging of the throne of God through prayer that keeps you of humbleness of mind. Okay. When your prayer life grows weak, okay, then your own signature becomes louder. But when your prayer life is strong, okay, that begins to subdue the voice of your own signature. Okay, because faith will subdue the aspiration, because you're replacing your aspiration with faith now. See, you're replacing your principle with truth, and you're replacing covetousness with temperance, moderation. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me is flourished again. Okay, as concerning now you're being renewed, having this understanding. Concerning this thread, okay, this joining, the threefold cord, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, callings, and grace of God. Okay, these three have threefold cords, and they're all bound together. Okay, even as the cords that bound the ephod, okay, to the onyx stones, which were on the vestments of the priesthood. Okay, everything was bound with gold, okay, with gold and linen, okay, gold, silver, precious stones, okay, and also they had the stones in the ephod there. So we see the precious stones there. We see the gold, okay, and also the thread, okay, which is used, which shows the divine, okay, and silver and gold and linen, a pure white linen, okay, and that which is dyed blue, okay, which shows his royalty and divinity. Okay, you can see all these things within the symbolism which we wear upon our heart, okay, which has to do with that which is full of faith. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. And now you're being renewed by this knowledge. Okay, wherein you're also careful as concerning distinguishing and weighing these things, but you lacked opportunity, okay, as concerning this event. Not that I speak in respect of want. Now, as I read this verse right here, I'm going to be jumping back and forth a little bit with the Gospel of Luke. Okay, and I'm going to bring something to your attention, most likely that you haven't heard before, which I could have made references on this earlier. Okay, but I want to expound a little more about this, because this is going to free you, okay, from vain pursuits. This is going to free your mind and your heart from vain pursuits, okay, in order that you can take on the yoke of the Lord with satisfaction and with faith. Okay, not that I speak in respect of want. Now, Paul said this, I have learned, okay, by the Holy Scriptures and the lives of his patriarchs, okay, that were before us. Okay, and whatsoever state I am, there to be content. Okay, now this is important. Okay, because now underline the word content, or highlight the word content, and you could draw a line from the word content to the God of peace. Okay, now there's a connection there with content, the God of peace, and these things, which we read about earlier in verse 8. Okay, which keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, the word content, okay, doesn't mean in a state of ignorance and listlessness, okay, which, of course, those which not having not understanding of the mystery of Christ continue to try to demonize those which will not pursue prosperity and their books, okay, which talk about how to get health and wealth, okay, they would actually demonize that or the individual, okay, they may make fun of the individual that doesn't have the same kind of, okay, riotous living as they do, okay, and the pursuit of these things. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned, wheresoever state I am, there to be content. Now, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Okay, this is a skill that you learn by the rhythm of the Spirit. Okay, it isn't something that you can just morph into by will worship. You can't morph into it by will worship. It's something you grow into by faith, okay, to understand this. I know by his experience, he didn't know that the day he was converted. He learned this, okay, through the instruction of his peers, okay, the chief apostles, Peter, James, and John. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed, okay, as receiving this knowledge, both to be full and to be hungry. He received it through Peter, James, and John, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Okay, he has learned whatever God selects, we bear, okay, and we walk in faith. Whatever God selects for your lot in life is what you bear with joy. If you don't accept the lot which God has selected for you, if you don't elect to work with it, then you offend the giver. Okay, and when you offend the giver, you're affronting God and you're challenging his organizational skills. Okay, you're saying, God, you're incapable of understanding who I want to be. Okay, of who I want to be, who I want to project to be. And this is the state of the mind of the church. Okay, the state of the mind of the church is always in a state of agitation because they possess no peace, they possess no covenant. Okay, in other words, they're trying to create life in that which is dead. Okay, because they're not joined to the oath of the Lord, and faith joins you to the oath of the Lord, because they're not joined to the oath of the Lord, they're trying to resurrect dead works. Okay, and they're trying to resurrect these dead works with precept, okay, and with will worship. Okay, and false humility, and humility, but false humility. Okay, and then he goes on here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, just for a moment, what I would like to do, okay, is expound a little more on this concerning, not that he speaks in respect to want. Now, we can see that God gives the gift of poor, and he gives the gift of rich. Okay, but with either one, the gift of poor could be with a blessing, or the gift of poor can be with the curse, okay? Or the gift of rich can be with blessing, or the gift of rich can be with the curse, okay? Now, to see this, we can look in Luke chapter 1, verse 48. Okay, okay, in Luke 1, okay, 48, okay, we can see that there's a revelation that's brought forth here that has been overlooked, okay, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Okay, and overlooking this, okay, a gospel was extrapolated from Deuteronomy, okay, Deuteronomy 28. Okay, and Deuteronomy 28, the gospel that was extrapolated from that, okay, has to do with that that whatever choice you make is the gift that you get, but that's not true. If you make a choice, it's not a gift. Okay, the gift has to do with what God selects for your lot, not what you select for yourself. Because everyone that would select a lot for themselves would say, I want to be a billionaire. Okay, and everybody would be a billionaire. I want to win the lottery. So they say, okay, I'm going to go out and win the lottery now. I select wealth. I select health. Okay, but it's not in our selection. Okay, it's in God's sovereignty and giving. Okay, and if we graciously receive these things and are thankful for him in these things, okay, then the blessing of the Lord will be bestowed upon you, and the Spirit of the Lord will sustain you and carry you through, okay, whatever hardships you have, whether poor or rich. Okay, whether poor or rich, the poor have their cares, and the rich have their cares. Okay, and this is what the Apostle James is bringing out in his epistle. Okay, go to now, you that are rich, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. God selected your lot in life for the gift of wealth. A gift of being a gift of rich. Okay, we'll just use that in these terms to keep it simple. But yet, Okay, with these things, you use them for your aspiration and cast off the blessing of the Lord. Okay, when you cast off faith in the covenant, you're casting off the blessing of the Lord. So therefore, your wealth will be joined with troubles. Okay, your wealth will be joined with troubles. Now, that's the same thing with the gift of poor. Okay, if in your poverty, okay, you can impoverish yourself in poverty. Okay, you have actually the poorest of the poor. Okay, that's the curse. Okay, the poorest of the poor. Being poor is not a curse. Okay, that's the gift. Okay, but even in that gift of being poor, okay, you can have the blessing, okay, of that which is great high esteem. Now we'll read this in Luke. Okay, now in chapter 1, verse 48 of Luke, we see this: for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid, low estate, which means the gift of poverty. Okay, we are a poor people. Okay, but look what he did. He's regarded the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, henceforth all generations call me blessed. Now underline the word blessed there in this sign. Okay, now in verse 45, it says, blessed is she that believed. Okay, now whatever state you're in, if you believe, okay, God, the peace of God will rule. There will be equity within your affairs. Okay, if there's equity within your heart, then also God sets your affairs in order. Okay, as concerning your faith. Okay, and this is what he was doing here with the Virgin Mary. Okay, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Now you notice that she didn't say right here, right, for God has now brought his promise to pass in Deuteronomy 28 that I can be wealthy and I'm claiming wealth for myself. But she doesn't say that. Okay, because in verse 53, we can see the opposite. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. That's the inequity of their wealth. Okay, they're rich. That's the gift that God has bestowed upon them for their lot in this dimension. Okay, but the curse accompanies the rich. The curse can accompany whether you be poor, or the curse can accompany whether you be rich. Okay, it determines upon are you in covenant or not. Okay, so it's not the poor that are cursed. Okay, which the false religious system continually want to hawk on the poor. Okay, they want to continually hawk on them for money so that they can enrich themselves through their ignorance. Okay, but if the poor would accept the lot which God has given to them and be gracious to the Lord, being thankful to him, walking in faith, the Lord can bridge that if he desires to do so. But if not, you continually walk with him. So it doesn't matter. Okay, as long as the peace of God is there, there's people that will give all their wealth just to be healthy. And there's people that will give all their wealth just to have peace of mind. Okay, as we see in the book of James. Okay, that your rust is corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Okay, such convictions continue to gnaw on your conscience because of your hoarding for the last days, thinking that you're gonna store up things, that the labor of these people is for the purpose of your protection. You're greatly erring. That's what James is bringing to your attention. You're greatly erring. Okay, to take these things of them in the name of the Lord, when the Lord never assigned these things or sanctified these things for that activity. Okay, so make sure you underline that in verse 48 and verse 53. Okay, there's two things right there. Okay, so show gratitude to our Father in heaven. Be thankful to our Father in heaven to whatever God has assigned to you in your lot of life. If you're thankful to him, he can bridge it if he desires to do so. But even if he doesn't desire to do so, be thankful unto him, okay, for the blessing of understanding these things, that you no longer have to stretch yourself after, okay, these how-to books of how to always get wealthy. You don't have to stretch after those things. If God desires, he will do it, even as he did with Joseph, from the dungeon to the throne, okay, as he did with Daniel, from a prisoner and a captive and a slave, okay, to being a president, okay, and over many subordinates, okay, princes, okay, even as he did with David, taking him from the sheepfold and sitting him on a throne. Okay, but the assignment was by God's sovereignty, and his bridge was because of his pleasure. Okay, the bridge was of his pleasure. But we take the light. And this is what Paul learned. If the church would have learned this, they would not have fell into covetousness, and they would not have spoiled their soul of faith, if they would have learned these simple things. And this is why I'm expounding on this and taking a little more expounding this for your benefit now. Okay, now in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when Paul says this, okay, when you put that reference there, Luke 1:48 and 53, okay, now you can reference back that on yourself and study that out, and you can see as concerning that he's not stretching himself after the wealth of the people. He wasn't doing that. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction, okay, as you lacked assistance, okay, through all these things. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Okay, understanding this mystery, okay, and this tethering. Okay, that even Jesus said the same thing. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now we see that in the book of Acts. You won't find that in the Gospels. You're only going to find that in the book of Acts. But Jesus said himself, okay, that even to his apostles, he says that the poor will always be with you. And when you feel doing good things for them, you take the opportunity, their time, or the season, you know, if it's a season, be jolly, then you give, okay, whatever suits you. Okay, but Jesus did not say, as concerning, let's get the poor that, you know, to put on their boots and strap up their boots and start working. Let's tell them how to live. Okay, and the rich always want to set the standards, okay, for those which are poor. Okay, and then, of course, that's just the way it is. The rich set the standards for the poor. Okay, the wealthy are the ones that are it's the wealthy of this world. Okay, they're the ones that are affecting stock markets. They're also affecting the economic wave that's going through the United States, and of course, that's by God's assignment. Okay, the things that are taking place right now, the things that you're experiencing at this present time, isn't by chance; it's by lot. Okay, it's by God's choosing, and so don't be perplexed concerning the troubling of the nations. Okay, but allow God's peace to reside within you. Not to stretch after those things of the world, and not to covet after evil things, but let's covet after spiritual things, okay, as the Apostle Paul admonishes the church. But covet earnestly the best gifts, okay, covet these things which will better your understanding of who God is. Okay, now, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica he sent once again to my necessity, that to honor the steward is also to honor the master of the house. Not because I desire a gift. I don't desire to yoke you with a precept of this, okay, but I'm showing you a joining, a connection, okay, so that those which brought to the altar, okay, receive the blessings of the faith of the priesthood. Okay, we see that in the Old Testament, okay, that this particular pattern was always set in the mind of the people. Okay, you can't separate yourself from Moses, okay, and expect to be in covenant with God. Okay, because Korah affronted Moses. Okay, we can see these three things, okay, unfolded, okay, in the lives of these three individuals: Korah, and Balaam, and Cain. Korah assaulted the apostleship, the stewardship of Moses. Okay, and it's concerning Balaam. Okay, Balaam wanted to remain independent. Okay, that was a false prophetic movement. We see the false apostolic movement through Korah. We see the false prophetic movement through Balaam, and we see the false work of the Spirit in Cain. Okay, and or the false priesthood even through Cain. Okay, that when he offered a sacrifice to God, he despised and took lightly the sacrifices of the Lord. He did not think God would even engage with him. Okay, as concerning these things, and that's because he didn't have faith. Okay, Abel had faith. Okay, and Abel offered on God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, okay, by the which God bore witness to. Okay, when the angel appeared, okay, when the angel appeared in a bright form, okay, Cain was really disturbed about that. Okay, when he saw that, because Cain's offering was despised because of an evil heart, even though it was religious, it was an evil heart. Okay, but Abel, a heart was full of faith, his sacrifice was accepted to the Lord, and God blessed him with great grace and peace. He went away illuminated, and Cain walked out of the church ashamed. Okay? And we see the same thing today. Okay, that if you walk out of the church drained, tired, okay, it's because you're under the wrong influence. Okay, if you walk out of the assembly enlightened, full of grace and faith, okay, edified, Okay, now that is the assembly of the righteous, okay, not the assembly of the wicked. Okay, now verse 17 again. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. You might want to hide the word fruit there, then it'd be a bounty account. Okay, as you show care for the house of God, God also show care for you. The same thing the Apostle Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You reciprocate to the grace of God with the equity of faith, and God also will continue to sustain you, and in his peace will abide upon you. Okay, but I have all and abound, Paul says, as possessing anything, his grace is abounding within me. Okay, as concerning the ripple, the wave, and the tsunami. Okay, the things which God reveals because is eternal, okay, continues to gain strength and height. Okay, but I have all and abound, he says, as a tsunami. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, just not the physical things, but the report of the obedience of faith with their priesthood doxologies. Okay, which book also we're about ready to have printed. Okay, with the God code. Okay, things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Okay, the fruit that you give off, the scent of faith that you have, attracts the angels. Okay, now reason why I say that, because you can see this even in the animal world. Okay, in the animal kingdom, okay, works with certain messages of scent. Okay, when dogs take a walk, or cats, or wildlife, you see, like squirrels, okay, they have certain, now birds work with objects of color and sound, okay, as well as on the animal kingdom, okay, they also work with scent, okay, with smell. Okay, so they, this is the same thing hunters use. Hunters put certain scent upon them, okay, either to attract or discourage certain animals. Okay, but anyway, okay, now, your faith is as a sweet-smelling savor to God. It's a scent. It's a perfume to him. Okay, it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, he says right here. Your faith, your charity, okay, if your charity is expressed from unfeigned faith, then your charity will abound and send forth a sweet-smelling savor wherein the angels will desire to clothe themselves within your presence. They will desire your presence and not abhor your presence. Angels, holy angels, abhor the presence of sinners. Okay, because the presence of sinners and their conversation and their choices of life continually vex the angel, okay, that is bringing unto them the direction and the wisdom of God. Okay, the holy angel is there, okay, to hear them, okay, as concerning when they make petition to God. Okay, the angel takes delight in that. They, and the angel also, the holy angel also creates the hardships on them, so that they will cry out to God. And the angel of the Lord takes great delight in that. When they cry out for God's assistance, to involve himself in their life, they open themselves up for concerning his grace. But if they don't cry out to God, then the holy angel that has been assigned to them has nothing to labor with. Okay, he's bored. It's like watching reruns. You know, from five seasons ago, watching the reruns of site five seasons ago, you know exactly what they're going to say. Okay, in fact, you could quote even when you watch some of these reruns, you know exactly what they're going to say, how they're going to react, and how, you know, the punchlines. You can see that. Okay, the angel says, "Oh, this is just reruns again. Iniquity unto iniquity. I have no delight here. So therefore, I'm going to have to set a scenario for them to cry out to God." Okay, so the sinner, they suffer because of iniquity. When they don't turn to God, then it's a sin unto death. Okay, there's no sin unto repentance. This is a sin unto death. Okay, but the angel Lord takes great delight in our presence. Okay, like somebody that has on one of those taboo colognes. Okay, the taboo cologne. There's a commercial that was running on that. Okay, the dangerous cologne. Be careful, this cologne. We have warned you of this cologne. Okay, because it attracts great desire. Well, the angel of the Lord is attracted by that cologne, the cologne of your faith. Okay, so you want to have a vessel full of faith. So study the doctrine, okay, read the teachings, okay, and involve yourself in good habits of prayer. Okay, save your soul, for if you do these things, you shall save yourself and them that hear thee. Now let's verse 19. Okay, but my God, now this is his reciprocation. Okay, because God takes delight within you, But my God shall supply you all your needs. Senior joined to the stewardship, honoring the master of the house, increasing his house by fruit, okay, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, everything that we have received, it comes right from the bosom of God, okay, and is carried by the voice of the Lord. Okay, these things which we have seen increases his house. That's what he says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, we're increasing his house with substance, the soul by which we overcome. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what I brought out earlier, okay, concerning the ripple, the wave, and the tsunami. When he says forever and ever, he's talking about that which God has assigned to you in his tokens is going to be useful and of great necessity in the third covenant. Okay, when we enter into the bosom of our Father, when we enter the place of our origin, okay, when the next stages of his plan begin to unfold, okay, in the holy city, the bride of the Lamb and our mother, okay, and things begin to unfold in there, the very virtue which we carry within us is impregnating her, okay, and in this form of impregnation, we're going to increase the holy city, okay, whereas its increase matches the increase of our faith. And it's going to grow and increase like a womb grows through increase. Okay, as time passes, it grows. Okay, and the holy city, our mother, the New Jerusalem, okay, being impregnated with the fruit which is within you. Okay, as we continue to increase and expand our Father's house and other dimensions as gods, okay, which we have been being groomed for right now, which are being tutored by the Spirit, okay, in preparation for this great honor of inheritance. Okay, it far exceeds just walking on streets of gold, because even a sinner is going to walk on the streets of gold on a day of judgment. Okay, everyone is going to go to heaven, but not everyone's going to stay there. Okay, everyone's going to go to heaven when they die, okay, because when they go to heaven, they're going to stand before the Lord in a great white throne judgment. All souls that have been created since the beginning of the world, okay, will stand before the presence of our Father and be judged, okay, according to, okay, the works, as we see in the book of Revelation, according to the works which they've done in this lifetime, okay, whether their works be in that of the aspiration or that which is in covenant, okay, were their works only mindful of their covetousness, or were they mindful of faith? Are they mindful of the things of the Lord? Okay, so that which he's taking, that which is being groomed within you by the tutoring and tethering and tutoring of angels, okay, far exceeds that of the imagination, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and chapter 22. Okay, that's why your conscience must remain crystal clear as pure water. Okay, as it remains crystal clear as pure water, okay, then the soul is full of light. Okay, and when your conscience is crystal clear and as pure crystal as and as pure water there, it reflects the face of God, like looking in a mirror, okay? Or looking in a spring. Okay, you look in here, you can see your reflection. Okay, or when you see it at a lake, yeah, it's perfectly still, that there's no breeze on the lake. It mirrors everything along the shorelines, the trees, the homes, okay, docks, boats, whatever it is along the shoreline, it reflects that. Okay, your conscience has to reflect the kingdom of light. Your conscience has to reflect God's interest. When he sees his image within you, he rejoices, and your soul becomes full of light. Okay, so winding up here. Now unto God and our Father. That's why he says God, as a governor of our destiny, has assigned us this form of, of nurturing, chastening, okay, and preparation. Okay, God, who is officiating over this, and our Father, okay, which is nurturing us as a parent, be glory forever and ever. Amen. That which he assigns for us is for his glory. Okay, that which he assigns for us is really for himself. Okay, and as we show conformity to this, he takes great pleasure in that, and we are a partaker of him. In verse 21, okay, we'll finish this up here. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Okay, and of course, the saluting, this salute one another with charity. Okay, as Paul says, as concerning the kiss of charity. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The overcomers greet the overcomers. Okay, the righteous greet the righteous. Okay, the brethren which are with me greet you in this manner. All the saints salute you. Okay, because we're all of us have taken allegiance by the oath of the Lord. Okay, when anyone is sworn into office, they're taking an oath of office that they will uphold, okay, the concepts of the institution. Okay, we are upholding the concepts of the institution of the throne of God, okay, by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so therefore we're saluting him in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will continue to uphold the oath of the Lord by faith in him. All the saints salute you, chiefly they of Caesar's household. Okay? Whereas this is where Paul received large sums of money, okay, and assistance to pen many letters to the church, okay, which we have, which in the book of Galatians, where he says, you see how large a letter were written unto you, which means doesn't mean in large print. Okay? It means it's concerning the compiling of all the letters, okay, including the book of Hebrews, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, okay, Colossians. He compiled all these together and says, and of course, one of the last ones he wrote was Galatians. You see how large a letter written. Okay, that's what he means. He's not talking about the size of the word. He's talking about is concerning the compiling, okay, of all these letters together. Okay, so all the saints salute you, chiefly they of Caesar's household, whereas he penned many of these things with the assistance and money, okay, from that house. And the last thing he says here in verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In other words, another way of saying this is that this holy knowledge, which I have just shared with you, is profitable for your priesthood doxologies. Amen.